if you're the last, I want to say something, and then I want to end it with the song. What I want to do is to give you an 8-minute condensation of my 50-minute sermon. I'm going to skip the opening passage, which would be Hebrews chapter 13. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, page 1803. These verses, 2 Corinthians 9, page 1803. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God because of the service by which you have proved yourselves. Men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel in Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Father, I pray that you will enable me to preach the last 5 minutes of this message clearly, succinctly, winsomely, powerfully, under the anointing of your Spirit, who creates faith, who brings life from death, who changes hearts and changes circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see in this passage of Scripture something that these testimonies have confirmed as part of everyday life. And that's this. Look at it. Page 1803, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able. Notice that the word all, or a word similar to it, in Greek it's the word pon, in one form or another, is used 5 times in this one verse. Pos pon, the Greek word for all or every, in one form or another, is used 5 times in this verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I want you to think about that for a moment. This is a promise of God. This is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul isn't making this up. He's not imagining this. St. Paul looks at his own life and he sees, in spite of trials, in spite of difficulties, in spite of hardships, this is true. It was true for him. It's been true in my life. And you've heard this morning, it's been true in the life of person after person after person. I want you to see one thing here in this text. It's everything. Does it include money? Yes, sir, it does. I want you to just scan the passage with me, starting at verse 6. This is all about money. Verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 6. You've heard me say that I don't preach tithing. I think tithing is a good practice. I don't think it ought to be a legal practice. But let me tell you something. I believe that the experience of giving needs to be like the experience of running. I had to give up running about 20 years ago and gained 50 pounds when I did. I used to run 5 miles a day. But I hurt my hips and I hurt my knees, but God healed it later. There's a thing in running that some runners experience. You get to the point of exhaustion, and then something happens in some cases, and you get your second wind, and those endorphins or whatever are released in your brain, and you experience a high. I believe that giving is like that. I believe that people don't need to tithe necessarily. I believe that people need to give until it hurts and keep on giving more after that until they get high on giving. Now that sounds funny, but I believe that it's true. I believe that tithing is a good measurement. But I believe that the tithe for many people is way too little, and for those whose faith is weak and who can't do it with cheerfulness, they shouldn't tithe. No point in giving money if your heart isn't in it, if you don't have joy in it. But you need to give till it hurts, and then you need to give more until you get till it no longer hurts and you experience the high. Why? Well, here's the principle. This whole two chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, are all about taking up a collection from the church in Corinth in order to share for the needs of the poor Christians in Jerusalem. It's all about collecting money. So when he speaks about sowing and reaping in verse 6, he's talking about money. We go down further. Verse 7, it's obviously about giving this context. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Isn't that about money? Of course it's about money. So the sowing stingily and reaping stingily, the sowing in abundance and the reaping in abundance of verse 6 is about money. Verse 7 is about money. And then in verse 8, while not limited to money, is about money. Let's say it again. Verse 8. It, while not limited to money, it includes healing. It includes healing inwardly. It includes healing relationships. It includes God opening doors for you, employment, all these other things. It is very much about money in its context. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Notice abound in it. God wants you to have enough money where you can always help other people. That's the will of God for you. Will God sometimes bring you into a tight spot? Sure He will. But it is the normal will of God that you always have enough money to give some away. Remember that biblical wealth is not being rich by the standards of the world, it's having what you need met with enough left over to help somebody else. We continue on in this context. Verse 9, he says, as written, he scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. It's about money again. We go on in verse 10. It's about money. He who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, it's more than money that's in view there, but let me ask you one question. Is money in view in that verse? Is it? It is. I want to tell you something. There are a lot of people here today with money problems because you've got a heart problem over money. I'm going to tell you, if you don't have your needs met, either God is a liar or you're not meeting the conditions for being blessed. May I say it again? If you've got real money problems, either God's a liar or you're not meeting the conditions for being blessed financially. Does being blessed financially mean that you have 4 homes, a Learjet, 20 automobiles? No, sir. It means what? It means being able to meet the necessities of life with enough left over to help somebody else. Say it again. And let me tell you, 95% of you here, if you got a lot of money, would be a curse from hell on you. Because it would ruin you. The only person that needs to have worldly wealth is a person who has the gift of giving. There are a lot of people that are cursed, I almost said blessed, with a lot of worldly wealth, but who have not been blessed with the gift of giving, and their money for them is like an alcoholic inheriting a bar. And that's not a joke. But notice what he says here in verse 10. Is verse 10 a specific promise from God through the Apostle Paul promising financial blessing? Yes, it is. He who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will what? Supply and do what? Increase. Do you believe that God wants to increase your wealth? Is this what this verse says? I mean, does it say it? Sandy, do you believe that God wants to increase your wealth? Do you really believe it? How many people here believe that this verse says that God wants to increase your wealth? Would you stand up? According to your faith, be it unto you. You can sit down. Now I want you to see why He wants to do that. He wants to do it not only to increase your store of seed, He wants to do this so that you can be a blessing to other people. Verse 11. Verse 11 says, you will be made rich in what? Everyone. You think that includes money? Come on now. I mean, does it include money? Do you think that God promises to make you rich in every way? Now, I'm not talking about having 5 houses and 20 cars. I'm talking about having enough so that your basic needs in life and those that you're responsible for are met with the ability to give some away. Is that what he's saying? Yes, he says that. He says, you will be made rich in every way. That includes money. So that you can do what? Be generous on every occasion. Wow! You think that's talking about money? Of course it's talking about money. Only an idiot would read that and think it's not talking about money. But it's not limited to money. And the result of your generosity is thanksgiving to God. Verse 12 says other people's needs are met. What's my point? My point is, I don't preach tithing. But I'm going to tell you this. If you will give till it hurts, and then give until it feels good, you'll be the happiest person that you know. Most rich people that I have known, and I've known a few, were not very happy people. Most rich people do not have real friends. It's sad but true. But a person who is having his wealth increased by God is free and has lots of friends. Not fair weather friends, but foul weather friends too. God wants to bless you. If you've heard these testimonies today, you've learned one thing. This is not an atheist church. There are a lot of atheist churches in America, whatever the denomination out front. I'm talking about practical atheism. In terms of God making a difference in people's lives today, it's not an atheist church. We believe the Bible is the Word of God, infallible, inerrant, reliable, and you can take it to the bank of heaven and cash in the promises of God. God does want to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others, so that His kingdom is advanced. He wants to give you enough health so you can do His will. And He wants to give you enough wealth so that you can see it multiplied in people's lives. I close with one illustration. There's a dear brother. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He took, this is not the way to put it, I was going to say, almost a fiendish delight in secrecy in helping other people. And what I mean by that, as other men might, with money, might invest in racehorses, thoroughbreds, or this or that, or yachts, this man would look out not only in our congregation, but in people in our community and say, could that young person benefit from going to college? And you know what he would do? Quietly, secretly, behind the scenes, he'd finance their education. Did it over and over again. without giving the name away. Did anybody want to stand up and say, I was blessed by that man's generosity here today? Stand up and shout.
I was blessed by that man's generosity.
Amen. That man's gone on to be with the Lord. He took delight in it the way that other people take delight in buying yachts and thoroughbred horses. Doing it quietly, secretly as possible. Giving away thousands of dollars every year to help young people get an education. Do you think he enjoyed it? He enjoyed it. He liked giving away money the way a hog likes slop. I mean, he just would roll in giving away money. It was fun. That's what I mean by giving until it hurts and then giving it till those endorphins kick in and you just enjoy it. And you know what? When you learn to give that way, you're going to be surprised at the swelling of your bank account. Will you experience exceptions in your life at times? Sure you will. The book of Job gives us the fine print that sometimes things don't go exactly the way that we expect them to go. But in the long run, Romans 8:28 is always true. And we close with this. And Don, if you'll play the song as soon as I pray. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Lord, bless us as we hear this song. Seal the reality of this to us in Jesus' name. Amen.